Welcome, welcome to another episode with your favorite gal pals, Cheryl Sutherland and Lise McHale here at Navigating Mindfulness, where we get to take all of our personal development tools, magic, all of these things, and build our businesses. And today is super fun because we just got the notification that there is another lockdown, stay at home order, don't leave your house, only essentials. To curb the expedient and exponential growth of the Rona. And so one of the conversations that we were playing with today was really around, like, how are we dealing? How are we doing? Like, what is the next steps? And so, of course, I'm joined here with my co-host, one and only, Lise McHale. Say hi to the people.
Hello, people. Thank you for joining us today. Really excited and grateful that we're going to have this conversation about this stay-at-home order, take three for Toronto.
Take three.
Actually, for Ontario.
So this is so funny because my understanding is that Ontario has had actually the longest lockdown, or Toronto has had the longest ongoing lockdown over any part in Canada, and then over some parts in North America. So a lot of the businesses that are normally like in-person services and stuff are really, really being affected. Now, I'm really grateful to be in Canada because we have stepped up and done a lot of things to support our entrepreneurs, our small business owners, for families and stuff like that, especially financially. However, there's still a lot of opportunity for growth. So with that, like, let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do it. So like you said, we're the longest. I didn't even know that. But like a take three. So that means this is our third lockdown that we have been told to stay at home for a full month. So I'm thinking of all service-based businesses like food and entertainment. That has been pretty much shot for the entire time. I did hear of somebody who like bought patio heaters so that they could extend or grow their business, and the very next day they were told you can't do it. We did takeout pickup the other night and they said we just ordered all of our food for the next month, and now what are we going to do with this food? So their customers thankfully are placing orders to buy boxes of the food that they would normally order to be at home. But there's so many other stories, and so walking around our Peace of Mind Square, like, what are people doing physically with themselves? You know, how are they being with themselves and others during this stressful time? Like, I'm talking COVID fatigue is starting to seep in, if it hasn't already for a lot of people. And then it's like, how are people managing their money? What are they doing to have fun? And then how do you still contribute during these troubled times? So that's kind of all the things overarching that is in my brain. And Cheryl, let's talk about it and find out how our audience is dealing with it too.
Yeah. So if you would like, we would love to hear from you. Make sure you email us or send us a DM, or even comment below, depending on the platform that you're checking out. So I know for myself, I haven't really fallen into the Amazon trap of like buying too many things, which I'm really grateful for. But there have been some things that I've splurged on that I decided that I really want, because why not? So I was just sharing with Lisa how I made fresh cheese yesterday with my Ninja Foodie. and just like really exploring, like really connecting back to food in a different way and just playing with food. I haven't been very good at creating time for me to like just play in regards to nutrition and stuff like that. So like, why not, right? So I made a small batch and it was actually really, really good. So I'm excited to continue eating that. However, a lot of the things that I've been really focused on is not staying where I am. And I do want to talk a little bit about that in regards to like your business. Like, there's been so many people that are like in-person services that have not adjusted, not had added on additional products and services, not made it easy for people to continue to support them and for them to like extend their reach right now. I had a client call the other day and she actually had this amazing business where it used to be in person with babies and we're playing with their cognitions with music and stuff like that. And like, they're growing and like learning new things and all these different things. and of course had to switch to online. But like, what is the next step? Like, what is the advantage? What is the silver lining of this time? So if you are a business owner right now facing a lot of things, taking a look at, instead of hunkering down and waiting for it to be over, what can I do right now? What feels good? What is the thing that I haven't allowed myself to do? Because I've been so caught up in the business of running this in-person business. What is it that I can do to support a whole new audience of people that may have connected with me online that physically wouldn't have been able to connect with me? So there's just so many opportunities.
Yeah. I love that you're taking that position on it, right? And that you actually have implemented that in your business. In fact, you probably have grown a lot more in it during this time. And I'm going to say that's also experience and the timing of your business, right? You've matured a little bit. You're now a little bit more confident in delegating. You've got lots of experience that you have learned from. And you pivoted your offering to include some online products. So I think going digital definitely is one way to capture the market. I will say, just as a side note for personal care and relationships and stuff, like for babies to be online and having that early screen time, that's like a double-edged sword for me, just knowing what I know, how being a parent and like wanting to limit screen time, especially at an early age. However, the other day I was walking and there was a little toddler, I guess, you know, he must have been a baby when COVID started. And this toddler looked up as if, and his dad was like, yeah, he's just not used to seeing people, right? Like real people. And I thought, okay, so there's a lot of impact happening here. So what can we do? And I think that is like the best question that I've heard so far is like, what can we do? What feels good? What haven't you given yourself the opportunity to try? Right? Yeah. Like that's really your jam as an affirmation queen. So I love that you are moving the conversation that way, because for those of you who don't know, there's like a local channel here called CP24, and it's basically one screen and it has like a little video stream and then a stock ticker symbol and then just like words with updates and then the time and the weather. I watched it for 5 minutes and became overwhelmed with just like the amount of information that was coming at you that was technically COVID related, really, specifically speaking to the lockdown order. Mm. And it just did not feel good, right? So what feels good? So just hearing, going in that direction, like what else are you doing to feel good? So I'm hearing nutrition, self-care, experimenting, playing.
Yeah. Like I haven't prioritized my physical like looks in forever. And it's also because like, I really love who I am now, which is really, really fun to say. But then like being able to play with, like, I've never been able to put on lashes by myself, or like, let me get this collagen mask and see like, what will my skin do? Like just playing a little bit more with that, has been super fun. And then I also think, so like just indulging in things that I haven't before, like I've never seen Kung Fu Panda. My sister, like it came on the TV the other day, and my sister was like, what? And I'm like, And so I ended up watching Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2 on Netflix the other day. And I was all like, this is actually really, really good. And now I want to learn Tai Chi. So like, there's just so many opportunities to like play and do things that are no cost. And then I think we also have the opportunity to create like relationships with people. Like there might be online classes or workshops, et cetera, that we get to play in. Yeah. One of the blockages that I've always, I don't want to say that I've always had, but that I've had as of late has been, I'm very hard on myself when it comes to product photography and videography for my goods. And I want to learn how to do it by myself from a space of like, this should be fun, or this could be fun, or I want this to be fun. And then also understanding that a lot of it is just play. So even taking pictures of myself, like I've lost like 32 pounds and I haven't taken a picture of myself yet, because I'm all like, I don't like taking pictures of myself. I like it when other people take pictures of me, because then it looks like it's not like a selfie, it's like a body. I don't know, it's a thing. But for you, I know things are a little bit different, because of course you have your business and it's been mostly all remote, but then also you have a child, and God bless all the people with children, because like I don't even know if I had to entertain another person during lockdown, I might be out. Like, and so like, how are you transitioning with this additional lockdown? What have you discovered? What have you learned about yourself? And how has the relationship with your little person changed?
That's a great question. And thank you for asking. When this first started, you know, I was okay with the lockdown because I figured, you know what, we'll be on lockdown. We will learn from other countries. We'll just shut down for like 2 months and it'll be good. Well, that didn't really happen, right? We did like this partial shutdown and never really, really, really shut down, even though they're issuing the stay-at-home order. It's not as severe as, say, some other countries like Italy or New Zealand, where they were like, legit, you're not moving, right? When it happened, I was okay with it. And she actually, so I have a daughter, she said, are you happy about this? And like you, I actually said, I'm grateful that I'm going to have some one-on-one time with you. Right? Because I think when you run your own business and you have a child, you're definitely, well, for me anyway, let me not speak for everybody and say definitely. I was definitely involved in the business more than I was with her. Like she went to daycare. She, you know, my work really would look like it was a priority, even though it's not, just like the time allotment. And so I was grateful for that. And it would also give us a chance to heal some like things that needed to be healed at this time, right? So as a single parent, we have zero contact with her father. So that just gave us a chance to really develop our own relationship, so that it would take some pressure off. So that was really good. So going back to screen time though, constant battle. Now she's got a phone. Now there's an iPad and she's on online learning. And just before COVID, we had an optometrist appointment and I had asked the optometrist, like, how many hours should she be on the screen? And he said 2. Okay. I was like, all
like,
right.
Two hours
like per day would be the max.
Wow.
For her age, for her age and the development of her eyes. And
all. Wow.
So,
2 hours. Yo, I'm sorry, but my phone like likes to tell on me, and it's just all like, oh, this week you're down screen time. You're only at like 9.5 hours a day, and I was like, what the?
Yeah, it's a real thing, and I mean. As you know, I've also cut a fair bit amount of weight because I have been in a desk for almost 2 decades, right? And so getting a handle on my eating, also playing with food, was really a personal thing for me because and this was before COVID, just because I wanted to keep up with my kid and because I actually now had time for myself, for prioritizing myself like you. So my relationship with her is so much better. I could not have asked for a different period of time to happen because she's in that, this happened from 11 to 12. Now we're going into 13, right? So this, I think, is a really, really good time for mothers and daughters to bond at a whole other level as they enter this new phase in their life. I really like that we're building up her confidence and, you know, she's worthy, she's loved, she's heard, she's appreciated. We're just playing with, it might always not look like the way you want it to look. Right? So in relation to the screen time, we're looking at about 5 to 6 hours a day for school. And then it's like, well, then how do you socialize if it's not on screen and you're not supposed to be going outside or not outside to like play with other kids? So that's been a really, probably my biggest challenge. However, I will say we're winning more than we are having to face challenges, which is amazing, amazing. I've been virtual since 2003. So like I'm an OG when it comes to the online world.
You are an OG.
I am. Like everyone is like, oh, you've been doing this for a long time. Yeah. So the only difference that has changed is I have historically never been on screen. All of my stuff has been audio. I never had to do this. You know, so it has changed my working style where I'm no longer multitasking because I'm on screen all the time, which has actually made me better at what I do.
Yeah.
because I'm no longer multitasking. So it's been a win for me. I'm not going to sit here and say that COVID has been a challenge. I do miss traveling. I miss seeing the people that I would, you know, like where you and I met. We were in California. I miss my family down there. I do miss getting together with my local friends.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, even you now that you're local, like just to even see you other than dropping off stuff. Like, that's a big thing. On the flip side to that though, because we're not traveling, I'm getting to experience Ontario at a different level.
Mm.
Minus the stay at home order time. Yeah. Right. So like when you're allowed to move about, and I now have an even greater appreciation for being in Canada. Like when you're talking about being in Canada, there are benefits. So that's all the soft stuff. Business-wise, we had some shrinkage. You know, when businesses are deemed non-essential, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about also, when businesses are deemed non-essential, it impacts everybody, right? And I think I had mentioned on a previous episode, we actually paused programs for the first time ever for the people who were deemed non-essential. And that's really tough, right? So prior to us recording, we were actually talking about stores taping off aisles now, or big box, I guess, stores are going to tape off aisles for non-essential items. That, to me, just high level, that's going to impact a whole bunch of things, right? It's going to impact a whole bunch of things. So can you kind of talk about what your thought is on that? Because you're a product-based business. Whether you're in a big box store or not, how is that going to impact supply chain, et cetera?
I love that question because it really brings to mind like why it's so important to make sure you have a brand and make sure you have a brand presence. Like I don't have very many retailers in Ontario anymore because of the first couple of lockdowns and the Rona season in the first place. And I've actually been playing with different retailers in different areas, which has been super supportive for me. I think what's coming up for me is that like, I am very clear in my position of, I appreciate big box stores, but I also go in there and I see the way that they have set up, like even just like their sanitation stations and blah, 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 all these different things. And I really feel like this could have been an amazing opportunity to really support local businesses by allowing them to be open instead of some of these big box stores, right? Like in certain areas, it makes sense, like especially where there's food deserts and such, where people do need to go to Walmart to get their groceries. But like, shutting down a lot of these small spaces that, you know, are easier to clean, that are easier to monitor how many people are in and out or who's touching things, et cetera, it doesn't make sense for me that they are closed, especially like barbers and nail salons or brow bars and stuff like that, because they have been so diligent in regards to cleanliness. And then just looking at the numbers, the amount of people that are actually like getting the virus from places like this are actually like pretty non-existent, right? Most of it is a lot of these kids that are essential workers that are picking it up, or a lot of these, at least here in Ontario, a lot of these people that are, how do I say, that are mostly like immigrants or people of color that are doing more frontline worker stuff, like, or essential worker stuff, that are the ones that are getting it because they can't take time off, right? They don't have paid time off. They don't have the same sort of healthcare benefits as, you know, a lot of these other people do. So just making sure that we are readjusting it, like our lockdown orders and stuff like that, to include the human element, because I think that that's something that they're not taking a look at. Kind of like when you're looking at your website and like, you're like, yeah, it's my website, it's fine. But somebody else that's like playing with it, like gets to play with the customer UX. Like, how is the experience of actually going through this and using it? And it's different than what the government thinks it is in regards to like transmissions and in regards to like how people are actually like being taken care of, like winners. And, you know, I love me some winners. I bought some stuff there. However, I would prefer that like a small boutique be open versus winners, right? So there's definitely some levels to it. However, I mean, there's a lot of businesses like there was one, I want to say Windsor, but I'm thinking that that's incorrect, where I saw where they're like, no, I'm staying open. Like I have to stay open. Like I have to feed my family. And they were line up. It was different from the barbecue one. It was something recent where she was like, I have to keep this place open. Otherwise, like my kids won't eat. And people again were lined up outside and doing all these different things. However, in my opinion, I believe that these smaller businesses can definitely handle making sure that people are safer versus a lot of these bigger locations or bigger businesses.
I do want to touch on a couple of things that you said. I'm not familiar with the demographics and the breakdown of where people are at. And to the frontline workers, let me just say, you're probably the reason that I have been as diligent as I have been, because I know that this is actually impacting them the most, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of family that are nurses. I have a lot of friends that are in that field where they don't have a choice because this is what they're trained to do. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, it was like, for them, let's do what we can, right? So the other part is financially, my understanding is our government has done a pretty good job of making sure that financial support is available to people who have been displaced from working. Is that kind of your sense? So, because in the States, I'm hearing like even up until March, people hadn't been paid money that they were owed from like July or some craziness like that. But I don't know. I'm just hearing things a little bit here and there. So, that I'm grateful for. I've heard of a couple horror stories. So for example, restaurants who opened during COVID are not eligible for support. I thought that kind of sucked. But at the same time, I guess if you knew it was going to happen, then you wouldn't go forward. But then you're tied into agreements anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that that sort of popped up. Do you have any comments or anything to those particular things?
I mean, I feel like, again, like with our government, they've been really responsive in regards to, oh, wait, you're not an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur and you haven't paid EI. Well, let me figure out something for you. Like they have been attempting to do stuff. And again, in comparison to our neighbors to the south, where they're like, yeah, here's $1,500 to last you until like I decide that you're worthy enough or until I decide that this like political campaign is working out the way that I want to. Like it really hurts my heart. However, I feel like from what I've been hearing is that a lot of the new cases are in younger people. And those are the younger people that are like working and stocking grocery store shelves and like doing all these extra things. And that's where the transmission is coming because, I mean, let's be honest, they're like running into a whole bunch of people every day. They're touching a lot of things. And then unfortunately, there are some people that are coming into grocery stores that do not wear masks. And then of course, we're not really confrontational with like some of these older people that are wearing their mask or not wearing masks, right?
I've not seen that.
I see it actually a lot down here in Niagara region where it's I would probably say like 95% of the people do wear masks, but then there's some older people or like 60 plus people that are just like really okay coming in and nobody's confrontational with them or kicking them out. I went to a small town here to pick up groceries from someone a long time ago, like probably about like 4 or 5 months ago. I was the only one in the store wearing a mask other than the grocery store employees. And then the employees, like they didn't say anything, but people can get really wild and confrontational sometimes. So I understand why. However, I mean, like that's the tricky thing is like, it's not really fair for them to have to work at a grocery store and not being able to be safe. Right. So, yeah. So with that, like a lot of these kids don't have paid time off or they're not able to take paid time off in that way if they do get sick or if they have like an indication that they might be sick. So that's my 4 cents on that.
Yeah, no. And I appreciate it because again, you're in a smaller town, mm-hmm. but you're also close to the border. I don't know how much that plays into it. And I don't know if our demographics are different. And the truth is I haven't really been watching all of the stats. The alarming thing to me is that we're now having to move people into different hospitals because our ICU units are overflowing. So it's those kind of things that concern me. And from a business perspective, it's like, I love how you said again, it's like, what is the opportunity here? And so if you have ideas for opportunities, please share them, because again, even though the government is basically enforcing this in order to keep us safe, how can we think outside of the box to actually keep our economy going and still being mindful about the things that we're offering and how we're doing it?
It's true, right? So like that includes offering, I think the most important thing is to take a look at who is your target market right now, who are your clients right now, and what additional ways can you serve them? And then I think another thing is being very conscious of like the different price points. Like if you're used to selling like a luxury item and you're okay with selling luxury items because like your people aren't affected, that's totally fine. However, if you're like more of a mid price point thing and people are now getting to see you, now getting to know your brand, it might be good to offer like a special product or a mini version or something like that that's free or no cost, or like low cost, like something for $5 to just let people have the experience of you and then just become a fan and then add you in. Like they were saying that during times of economic slowdown, the companies that ended up spending more on a marketing and advertising ended up coming back even better when the turn up happened, right? So this is again an amazing opportunity to start planting some seeds to support people, for even if they choose not to buy, for them to get to know you, like you, trust you, be a part of your network, be a part of your community, be on your email list. And then so like they could just start creating a relationship with you and then choose into buying or then choose into referring you into somebody else, et cetera, et cetera. So there's just so many different opportunities. And then making it easy, like doing something small or doing something that feels like this doesn't feel overwhelming. Like you don't have to do like a 7-week course on how to do your own eyebrows. Like, no, like you just start off with like doing a Facebook Live, or you could just start off with doing like starting an emailer. Like little baby steps make the biggest changes.
Actually, this podcast was born during COVID.
It was. I feel like I'm just going to hold out my hands like I'm holding a Simba and I'm that monkey. And I'm just like, it was born during COVID.
It was. I mean, it was a contribution to support others. And my hope is that, you know, our audience is really getting value from listening to us talk about the real things that are happening. And so I have not offered anything of that. I still don't really participate in a lot of marketing. So I would love for you, Cheryl, to share what you've done in your area or the businesses that you're involved in, real life examples of the advice that you've just given, because I would love to know how to like come out even stronger. And I would love for our audience to know if that's the takeaway for them today, is like, what are some of the things? So you've offered little products, something quick and easy. Please share.
Yeah, for sure. So I think some of the things that I've had the opportunity to play with, and again, bear in mind that before the Rona struck, I was very much like, I want to do more leverage stuff. Like I want to do more digital stuff. I want to do more speaking. And so when it hit, I was like, yes, because it allowed me to slow down and shift gears really easily while the inertia of what was going on in the business before was really making, or I made it difficult to start something different because I felt obligated to X, Y, and Z in the other side, right? So I had been very clear that I wanted to do an online course. So it gave me the opportunity to like, not only connect with myself and see like, what do I want to create? What do I feel like what problems am I solving? And how can I help people that are already buying my products and services at a deeper level? So creating a 7-week online course was just so fun because it was like, this is the accumulation of all of the knowledge, all of the things that I've practiced to date, and just being able to put it in all in one place felt really, really good. Also, I think collaborating with other people that are in the same field. So like whether it's doing giveaways, whether it's like, I'll pop on your podcast, you pop on mine, or I've had the amazing opportunity where a lot of people are doing online courses or online summits and they're like, hey, do you want to be a speaker on this? This is how much we'll pay you and this is a thing. And I'm like, thug life. I think this is amazing. This is exactly what I want to do, right? And then just even being able to do more virtual summits. So some of the companies that I work with, like Wonder Woman Tech, we have been doing things in person for so long that now it's like, okay, well, how do we do this virtually? So just like playing with different platforms and stuff like that too has really allowed us to have more people from different with differing ability that we would have never been able to see. And then also geographically that we would have never been able to connect with. So I'm so excited about that. However, I know I went off topic a little bit, but what else that I've had the opportunity to create is just been like new items with different price points. Like I have the Jotter notebooks, which were really, really fun. I have the affirmation cards, which have also been really fun. And then just seeing like, okay, if I'm not actively selling things in this way, then what relationships do I want to build so I can sell them in a different way? So taking a look at some of the B2B relationships that I can start building so I can have more bulk sales versus like one-on-one sales where somebody might buy like, you know, $50, $60, $70 worth of product. No, you're buying like $400 worth of product. And it's like one shipment and it's easy, like thug life, like making it easy, right? And then also I feel like I'm talking forever, but also like, if I have a gratitude journal and people really love it, it's great. And people want to know how to use it because oftentimes people will buy things and be all like, cool, I'm going to change my life and never use it. However, doing like a little online course or like a 15-minute something, something, or something like video where people are able to connect to you because you are the one that sells your brand. You in fact are your brand. And then just saying like, hey, this is me. This is why I created this. And like, let's go through and start learning how to do this together. It's so, so fun. So like just again, additional things within the same areas that you're doing, serving the same people just in new playful ways.
Yeah, I love it. And you did touch on a few things there that I really want to circle back to because they are relevant.
I feel like I talk too much. You're like taking notes. You're like this point and this one and this point.
Well, I'm like, oh. I hope, you know what? I hope they are taking notes. I actually didn't because I'm involved with your life, right? Like I know when you're doing them. So I
you see are involved what you're in doing. My life, girl. You are involved in my life.
I am. It's, hey, you know, from California to Toronto, we're here. But you did touch on something when you said I'm connecting with other people in different parts of the world that you normally would not have. And so we've always, like in our businesses, we've always partnered with people all over the world, whether we represent somebody here in North America from at 1.8 to 8, we'll have like a counterpart in Asia Pacific so that, you know, they're getting 24-hour coverage, right? But I love what you said because historically it would be in person and the minute that you went digital, it became global. So when people are thinking about, you know, what is the opportunity here? How can they have more fun? I would love to see what happens when they sprinkle in the digital opportunity and the global reach. Because when you talk target market, when you're thinking local, your target market is very different than there are no geographical boundaries, right? So I really love that because, you know, I like have people all over the world and I definitely think that that's one of the things that I love about what I get to do is that there are no boundaries in that sense. So, and it makes it honestly a lot easier to be stay at home when you know you can reach out to people at any point in time during the day because it's like another time, some other part of the world. So, yeah, I really loved all the things that you said. So talk on, girl. Like, it's fine. You're a speaker. Go for it. So I think that's it for me. I really want to thank you for just letting me air out some of this because I think this third lockdown impacted me different than the first two for very many reasons. Again, our hospitals have never been at this state. The weather is warming up and they're asking us to stay put. Where historically, like they're actually now labeling it as mobility, right? As opposed to, they're basically telling you to stay in your zone.
Stay in your zone. They don't even want like me to come up from down here to go to Toronto or like different regions and stuff. They don't want that mix. Well, I think also we had a lot of issues with people from Toronto or York region coming down to like Guelph or like all these other places and then bringing their Rona with them.
I don't have Rona. I am from Toronto, and I'm not planning to bring it anywhere.
I'm not generalizing.
No, I know. No. I get that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that came down to just do shopping and stuff, and it just made no sense.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what would have happened if we just truly locked down for 2 months in the beginning.
Yeah, you know? I think we would have been, it's tricky. I think we would have been better off. However, I feel like there's so many people that are just very much about themselves versus about the collective that it makes it really hard. Like, and this is also reflective, I want to say, of North American culture, where we've kind of been rewarded for looking out for ourselves versus thinking about the collective. I was reading this thing where it said, like, people in Asia, when it was all like, oh yeah, this is happening, okay, everybody wear masks, it was easy. Everybody needs to stay at home, okay, cool, no problem. Like, even though, like, I'm struggling mentally, or even though, like, I might be wanting to go out or wanting to go on vacation, like, just being able to say, like, okay, I can hunker down for this for the good of everyone, while here it's very much like, well, what about me? And then I think that's, even if we did do that lockdown order, that a lot of people would have, like, rebelled against it. I think we would have been better off still. But I think that it would have been mixed. People are always afraid of communism and socialism that they don't understand.
No, I understand what you're saying too. I'm really deferring to, and I'll say New Zealand. Mm-hmm. They were very firm about it. And I understand we're a melting pot society. We have different provinces. You know, it's much larger. However, they're done. And when there's one case, like, they just go back into complete lockdown. Until it's gone, you know what I mean? Versus, you know, even when I look at the States, like, we were trying to avoid our ICUs getting overwhelmed. I feel like 12, 13 months ago, that was our objective, was not to have that happen. So where did we fail?
Yeah.
Right. And so, again, for a business person, this is why I wanted to talk about this. For a business person, for mindfulness, it's like, what are you going to do in order to continue? So find good things. But this is the truth of it right now, right? We're all kind of like in this space of, how did we get here? What are we going to do? And yet the goal that you want to get to is like, what can I do to keep myself at this level? Mm-hmm. This is real talk, people. This is what happens in everyday life. So may you be happy, healthy, and free in your mind, right? Like, just to be able to function. So Cheryl, kudos to you for making it all work during this time.
I mean, thank you. But I feel like, and something that just quickly popped into my head was talking about detachment.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is a healthy level of detachment? Not like I'm detaching from people and, like, outcomes because I'm afraid of being hurt, but I'm attaching to this because I've taken off the energy of what I think that this means. And so if I'm able to detach from, like, what I think about my business, whether it's like things that I think other people will think about me, or like things that I've made up about myself, then it makes it really easy to transition, to pivot, to move forward versus staying.
Yeah. I mean,
like, we're not Blockbuster girls.
No, 100%. Because there's no way 2 years ago, if you were like, hey, let's do video podcasts.
Yeah.
This would not have happened.
It wouldn't have.
Never have happened. You know, so you do have to push out. And again, my hope is that the real authentic conversations that we have actually add value to somebody else.
Because, they are adding,
right?
Value.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's really it. So with that, I would like to say thank you to you for just giving the space to talk about lockdown 3.
Lockdown, they won't let me out. They won't let me out. I'm locked down, they won't let me out. Anyway, yeah. So thank you so much for everybody that's joined, for not only the lovely rendition of Akon's Locked Out that I just threw out, but then also continuing to have delicious conversations with us as we grow, as we move, as we change. through not only this lockdown situation, but just through life. Like, life is so fun and we've got such opportunities to enjoy the present. So my goal, and I know that as a result of playing with everybody that's listening to this podcast, that they are also growing, shifting, moving, and choosing to see themselves different, choosing to take on obstacles and choosing not to let doubt win. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm joined again with my lovely co-host, the one and only Lisa McHale. And with that, we are signing off for this week on Navigating Mindfulness. If you like this, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you share this with a friend, whether you're watching this on YouTube or on Spotify or on all the platforms that we're on. Make sure to like stay in touch and that we can be best friends, because I mean, I like friends. I don't know about you. So have an amazing rest of your day, and we'll see you on the next episode.